We are here on the fourth and the final day of our series. While everybody is getting settled, I wanted to share a small story. This is not a fairy tale, this is a real story. Real story happened in ELBC. You know, in our last baptism service, we few brothers, you know, cleaning up the tank, water tank here, filling the water and checking the temperature. And we were doing all kinds of preparations here. And one of our brothers made a remarkable comment. It is a little scary. The brother said that, you know, this water tank, baptistry, kept on this podium for a purpose. Deliberately kept there. It is because if the preacher decided to go beyond their allotted time, back their AV team, they have got some kind of trigger. And they will pull the trigger, then after that, you will not see the preacher after that. Gone, vanished. I don't know, is that true? You may need to check with elders or AV team. But you know, the good thing is that even on my fourth day, I'm surviving here. That seems to be a good sign, right? That's right. By all means, thank you so much for your cooperation. Thank you so much for your perseverance. More than anything, thank you so much for your prayers. Really, really appreciate it. The subject what we are going through, I know that it is a vast subject. It is not that easy. You know, if you are not careful enough, we can get into complexity also. But my intention is not to get into the depth of that. That was not my intention. My intention is to develop some kind of interest, some kind of appetite to study further on that. I hope this will really help you in the days to come. All right, shall we get into the subject? Salvation by the grace of God. Same subject, same portion, so shall we read that one more time? First Peter chapter 1. Verses 1 and 2. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who reside as strangers, scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, in the sanctification of the Spirit, for obedience to Jesus Christ, for sprinkling with his blood. May God add his blessing upon the reading of this portion. We were focusing on verse 2 because we can see the work of triune God in the process of salvation in this one verse. Number 1, God the Father elected us. Elected us according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. Number 2, we can see that after that, Holy Spirit came and separated us, sanctified us. Given us every opportunity to hear the gospel. Given us ability to understand that, whereby we become children of God. We come to a stage of obedience. A new birth happened there. A new Christian journey started from there. And today, we are going to look into the last portion of that verse, sprinkling with the blood of Jesus Christ. Before we go there, I wanted to make it very clear that today is the last day. And, you know, we have got only very limited time. So I will be going through the practical application side of that word, sprinkling. Sprinkling with the blood of Jesus Christ. When we hear the word blood, our mind will go to the cross of Calvary, where our Savior bled and died. It is because, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18, we read that, we are redeemed not with the perishable things such as gold and silver, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. It is a sacrifice, the single sacrifice we can see on the cross of Calvary. the ultimate sacrifice. In fact, the sacrifice we see on the cross of Calvary is the culmination of all the sacrifices we see in the Old Testament. That's what we read in the book of Hebrews. Book of Hebrews, chapter 10, verse 14, we read like this. By a single offering, he has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. By single offering, he made purification for our sins, which we cannot do it by ourselves. But here the word, a unique word, a special word here we can see, sprinkling, which we don't see quite often in the New Testament. But we can see multiple times in the Old Testament. But so this morning, what we're going to do, we are going to bring some scripture portions from Old Testament and see the meaning of the word sprinkling, because the redemptive work on the cross of Calvary accomplished by Jesus Christ point towards the meaning of the word sprinkling, and the duties and responsibilities coming along with that. Are you with me? I wanted to repeat that one more time because it's very important to understand the rest of the portion. We are going to find the meaning of the word sprinkling from Old Testament. Some scripture portions we will bring from Old Testament. It is because the redemptive work on the cross of Calvary accomplished by Jesus Christ point towards the meaning of the word sprinkling and the duties and responsibilities coming along with that. So that being said, let's go to some Old Testament scripture portions. Before that, one more thing we had to keep in mind. This word sprinkling used in the Old Testament mainly for three instances, three situations, for three different purposes. Okay, one more time. The word sprinkling used in the Old Testament for three instances, for three different purposes. So we need to bring all that together to find the meaning of the word sprinkling. Then we will look into the practical application of that. All right, let's go one by one here. Scenario number one. Scenario number one. Leviticus chapter 14, verses 6 and 7. Leviticus chapter 14, verses 6 and 7. Verse 6, saying that priest took the blood. Verse 7, then, and he shall sprinkle it seven times on him who is to be cleansed of the leprous disease. Then he shall pronounce him clean. Then he shall pronounce him clean. Scenario number one, cleansing of a leprous person. We know that leprosy is a disease that can enter in someone's life very slowly, no pain at all. But eventually, the disease will make that person ugly. Sin is also like that. Sin can enter into someone's life very slowly. We don't even know that. Very slowly. Do you agree with me? Any disagreement? If you have a disagreement, I can refer a book for you. It's called Respectable Sins by Jerry Bridges. Every Christian should read that. Sin can enter in our life very easily. And ultimately, that can damage us. Interestingly, when we come to the book of Leviticus, we can see three types of leprosy. Three types of leprosy. What are they? Let's look into that. There are three references you can see here. All right. Leviticus chapter 13, verses 2 and 3. Leviticus chapter 14, verses 35. Verse 35. Leviticus chapter 13, verses 47 and 48. Three types of leprosy. Number one, Leviticus chapter 13, verses 2 and 3. There we read that leprous disease on the skin. Leprous disease on the skin, number one. Number two, leprous disease in a house, Leviticus chapter 14, verse 35. Number three, leprous disease in a garment. Three areas of our life. leprous disease can affect three areas of our life. Number one, leprous disease on a skin. Number two, leprous disease in a house. Number three, leprous disease in a garden. It is almost like a symbolic way of seeing that sin is also just like that. It can affect in these three areas of a Christian. Leprous disease on a skin, that shows our personal life, personal life. Number two, leprous disease in a house, that shows our family life. Number three, leprous disease in a garment. We know that garment shows the testimony. Our old man removed, and we are robed with the robe of righteousness. When prodigal son came home, we can see that father robed him with new robe. That shows the testimony. Three areas of Christian life. Sin can affect all these areas of a Christian. And it can make so much of damage in a Christian life. But when we come to 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, there we read that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. All sins. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. In a Christian life, there is a possibility that sin can enter all these areas of our life. So scenario number one, cleansing of a leprous person. Now, scenario number two. Exodus chapter 29, verse 21. Exodus chapter 29, verse 21. Exactly same verse we can see in Leviticus chapter 8, verse 30 also. Same situation, same verse. What is the context of this verse? Exodus chapter 29, verse 1 is the context. There we read that, now this is what you shall do to them to consecrate them, that they may serve me as priests. So this is the situation like consecration of Aaron and his sons and their garments. Let's read that first. Leviticus chapter 8, verse 30. Moses took some of the anointing oil and of the blood that was on the altar and sprinkled it on Aaron and his garments and also on his sons and his sons' garments. So he consecrated Aaron and his garments, and his sons' garments with him. We can see here, it is a consecration service, a solemn occasion, dedicated for the service of God, Aaron and his sons, and their garments, consecrated for the service of God. So number one, we can see that it's a cleansing of a leprous diseased person. Number two, consecrated for the service of God. So two situations we found. One more. Exodus chapter 24, verse 8. We know the situation of this. We know that this is a Mount Sinai experience. Children of Israel, they got the law. And after that, when they heard it, they said, we will follow that. But later down the road, they broke it. That's a different story. But as a sign of that covenant, Moses took blood and threw it on them. Okay, let's read that. Exodus chapter 24, verse 8. Moses took the blood and threw it on the people and said, behold, the blood of the covenant that the Lord has made with you in accordance with all these words. So here we can see that the third situation is that the children of Israel, when they received the law, Moses took the blood and threw it, sprinkled it over them. So three situations we saw that. Let's recap that. Sprinkling with the blood of Jesus Christ. What's the meaning of that? Number one, cleansing. Leviticus chapter 14, verses 6 and 7. Number two, consecration. Leviticus chapter 8, verse 30. Exactly the same portion we can see in Exodus chapter 29, verse 21 also. Number three, covenant. It is a sign of covenant. Exodus chapter 24, verse 8. When Peter mentioned that you are sprinkled with the blood of Jesus Christ, all these ideas are coming together. All these ideas are coming together. We are a group of people redeemed by the precious blood of Christ. We are cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Number two, we are a group of people. We are consecrated for the service of God. Number three, we are covenant people. These are the three ideas are coming together. Now, we need to go into the practical application of these three. Let's go one by one and see the practical application of this. All right. Before we go there, I want to show you one scripture portion from the New Testament. All these ideas are coming together. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 13 to 15. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 13 to 15. There we read that verse 13 talks about Old Testament sacrifices. We can see that blood of goats and bulls, Old Testament sacrifices. Verse 14 talks about blood of Jesus Christ. It's a comparison. When we see verse 13, it's Old Testament sacrifices. Verse 14 is the efficacy of blood of Jesus Christ. Number one, purify our conscience. Purify our conscience. Cleansing. Do you see that? Number one, cleansing. Purify our conscience. Number two, to serve the living God. To serve the living God. Consecrated for the service of God. Number three, new covenant. Jesus Christ is the mediator of the new covenant. Here we can see covenant. Again, on the third side, we can see that. So, sprinkling by the blood of Jesus Christ, meaning all these ideas are coming together when we say you are sprinkled by the blood of Jesus Christ. All right. Now, we need to go into the practical application of all these three. Number one, cleansing. Cleansing. What is the practical side of that? There are two verses you can see here. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 14 to 16. There we read that, as obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance, but why? Because the Savior is holy. He who called you is holy. Also be holy in all your conduct. As it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. This is the practical application of that. It's our responsibility that since we are cleansed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, it's our responsibility to keep ourselves holy. When we come to the second verse also, same idea. 1 John chapter 3, verse 2 and 3. There we read that, beloved, we are God's children now. We know that when He appears, we shall be like Him. Therefore, all those who have hope in Him, purify Himself as He is pure. This is the practical application of the first one. Second one, when we say we are sprinkled by the blood of Jesus Christ, we are consecrated for the service of God. Let me ask you, what kind of service we are doing? What kind of service we are doing for the Lord? When we come to 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, there we read that, I thank Him who give me strength. Lord Jesus Christ, because He counted me faithful and appointed me for His service. Praise the Lord. He counted me faithful and appointed me for His service. Dear brothers and sisters, if you are engaged in the work of the Lord, whatever capacity it may be, whether big or small, whatever it may be, whether visible or invisible, you are doing it. It is not because of your strength. It is not because of your capacity. It is not because you can do it. It is because God strengthened you. It is because God found you, counted you faithful. That is the reason why you are doing it. Do it with all due diligence so that you may find faithful. There we read that He counted me faithful. Counted me faithful. What kind of service we are doing? Or do we have a kind of lethargic attitude in our mind? Let's see the practical application of that. When Peter mentioned you are sprinkled with the blood of Jesus Christ, the meaning is that you are consecrated for the service of God. What kind of service we are doing? Let's look into that. When we say we are consecrated for the service of God, minimum we are supposed to do three kinds of services. Number one, we have responsibility towards each other. Number two, We have responsibility towards the lost world. Number three, we have the responsibility toward God. Let's go through that one by one. Number one, Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. We have responsibility to one another. There we read that, through love, serve one another. Serve one another. There are many, many ways to do that. As I said earlier, visible or invisible. Many ways to do that. I'm standing here, teaching from the word of God. It is not because I have got some points in my hand, or I know how to do the PowerPoint. That's not the reason. I'm serving you. I'm serving you. I'm just a person standing behind here. I'm serving you. There are many, many other ways to do that. We have responsibility to one another. Number two, we have the responsibility towards the lost world. Colossians chapter 1, verse 24 to 26. This verse was a little challenging for me for some time. It is because, let's read that first. Colossians chapter 1, verse 24 to 26. Let's read 24. Apostle Paul is saying that, I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I am filling up what is lacking in Christ's affliction. What is lacking in Christ's affliction? Is there anything lacking in Christ's affliction? No, the cross of Calvary is a finished work. It's a perfect work. And what Paul is saying, that I'm something lacking in Christ's affliction? And he's saying that I'm filling up. What is that filling up? We know what is fill in the blanks, right? When we go to, in olden times, when we go to an office, we know that we get a form. And we need to fill in the blanks. Name, dot, 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 dot. We need to fill our name, right? Fill in the blanks. So here we can see that I am filling up what is lacking in Christ's affliction. What's the meaning of that? We know that when we consider a sinner, though the cross of Calvary is a finished, perfect work, for him, it is lacking. So we have a responsibility to fill in the blanks between these two points. Yesterday, in our men's meeting, Brother Lakshman brought a prayer matter that, you know, they, as a group, they're going out for practice mission for the favorable client. Filling up between two points. We have the responsibility towards the lost world. Number three, we have the responsibility toward God. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 14, there we read that. Purify our conscience from dead works to serve the living God, to serve the living God. Some paraphrase saying that, worship the living God, worship the living God. So three areas of our life. We are responsible for. When Peter mentioned, you are sprinkled with the blood of Jesus Christ, what that means is you are consecrated for the service of God. All right, let's go to the last. Sprinkling with the blood of Jesus Christ, meaning it's a sign of covenant. We are covenant. Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 31. It is a prophecy concerning the new covenant. There we read that, I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my. This is the prophecy concerning the new covenant. And after that, Hebrews chapter 8, verse 6, there we read that the new covenant is much more excellent than the old one. The new covenant is much more excellent than the old one. And I want to read one more verse, and I wanted to close here. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. There we read that, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of the truth. Rightly handling the word of God. I want to highlight that word, rightly, it is because we can divide the word of God. But to rightly divide, that need time. We need to spend time, hours and hours behind that. Otherwise, you know, we know that there are so many churches around. There are so many denominations. You know why? It is because mere divide the word. It is our responsibility to rightly divide the word of God. Rightly divide the word of God. Because we are covenant people. It is our responsibility to hold fast that. Threefold responsibilities. Let's recap that. When Peter mentioned, you are sprinkled by the blood of Jesus Christ. We are cleansed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And we are, our responsibility is to cleanse ourselves. Number two, we are consecrated for the service of God. And we found that there are threefold responsibilities coming along with that. And finally, when we say we are sprinkled by the blood of Jesus Christ, we are covenant people, and it's our responsibility to hold fast that new covenant. I wanted to read that verse one more time because this one verse we were going through last 3 weeks, and I wanted to read that one more time, and I wanted to pray and 1 Peter chapter 1 verse, elect according to the foreknowledge of God, in the sanctification of the Spirit, for obedience to Jesus Christ and for sprinkling with His. May God bless us all. Shall we look to the Lord? Gracious God, our heavenly loving Father, eternal God, we thank you. Our words are not sufficient enough to pour our heart before Thee. We thank you all we are and what we have come into Thy presence, and we want to say thank you. Thank you for your salvation, such a great salvation. And you have elected us even before the foundation of the world, according to the foreknowledge of God. You sanctified us, separated us, given us the ability to understand the word of God, whereby we become children of God. And even this morning, you reminded us about the duties and responsibilities. Just to live a life worthy of Thy calling in our sojourn. Help us to follow Thee diligently, looking into the other and perfect our faith, so that we may find faith every step of our way. We know that we have believed and trusted, and we are convinced that You are able to guard us and protect us until the day we are weak and we are feeble and we are unworthy in many ways. You give us victory through Your beloved Son, and we thank You for that. Thank You for this time together to learn from this. We pray for those who are weak in the body. We especially pray for Epiphany. Thank you that you brought him in today. Thank you for the testimony we heard. We pray for Amy also. Thank you that you have given every situation, given all the wisdom and understanding to handle every situation. And we thank you for that. We pray for the complete thing. As we depart from here, we pray that Your presence may continue to watch over and protect. Thank you, Lord, for listening. In Jesus Christ's precious name, we pray.